Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Yes, indeed. Good morning. I am joined this morning from the University of Minnesota. Mary Meyer is back with us. Hi, Mary. Good morning.
Good morning, Denny. I feel like, Denny, I should be out gardening. I look at the weather.
And it's November. It's November 9th.
I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, what projects did I not get done? What should I still be doing out there?
I'm with you on that. And I, in fact, even looking at the forecast, hearing what Al just said and glancing at it myself this morning, I thought even by the end of the week, we're going to be in the 50s.
It's amazing. It is amazing.
Well, we as usual welcome any and all lawn and garden questions. Yeah, we'll still talk lawns at this point in time. Probably still will be for the next
raking.
Few weeks or so.
I'm sure many people are still raking. Yep.
In fact, I wouldn't be surprised that during the show I'll be hearing a bunch of leaf blowers. during the show, as has happened in the past. But I would like to invite our listeners to join in. We're already getting some text messages concerning lawn and garden questions. So one number to remember, if you want to call and chat with Mary, that would be great. We'd love to hear you. Or just send your question via text. Same number, 651-461-9226. You're right about the leaves, for sure. And I know we always get every year about this time. There's a point in time where I can leave a certain amount of leaves on the lawn and it won't hurt it. But that if you leave too many, it'll destroy the lawn. Am I right on that?
Yes, you're exactly right. So you really need to be able to see the grass. The grass has got to be able to have light. And if you just say, well, it'll still survive, I'm just going to leave the leaves out there, you will find major disappointment in the spring, because if the lawn is covered with leaves, that's enough to kill it in the wintertime. Especially, it can just create a big frozen mat on top of the grass. It's really, it's actually a way to kill your lawn if you want to get rid of it. So, you know, if you can use your lawnmower and chop up the leaves and then still see mostly lawn when you're done, that's great. But once it gets to be too much of a covering and you can't see the lawn, have to get the leaves off it. Yeah.
I think that's what you and your colleagues have said over the years. If you can see mostly lawn, you're probably good to go. But if it's a big blanket, that's another story.
Yeah, and you know, the type of tree you have makes such a difference. If you have honey locust, which have a really fine leaf, that can be much easier to control just with mowing and chopping it up. If you've got a large maple, like a Norway maple, most of the maples have such a big leaf, you have to remove those. And then the oaks usually have a big leaf also, but oaks can have a drier leaf. They can actually blow away, right? So they might blow off and end up in your neighbor's yard instead of yours. But
Vice versa.
That's right. Yes. Vice versa. That can happen too.
Texter says this, Mary, is it okay to trim burning bushes? Should we wait a little longer to dormant seed? Couple of questions there.
Yeah. So when plants are totally dormant, you can go ahead and prune them. Burning bush has had a mixed history. It's a beautiful shrub with this bright red color in the fall, something spectacular. But it has had a tendency to self-seed and be a nuisance in some people's gardens. But yes, you could go ahead and prune that now once it's fully dormant. And then the other question was the dormant seeding. I knew we'd be talking about that. Yes, it's, you know, it's amazing. The soil temperature is still quite warm because we haven't had much cold weather. Certainly no frozen soil. You know, I would say, I should have put my soil thermometer in, but I would say it's probably 45, maybe even 50 degrees. So it's too cold for germination. And yes, you could dormant seed right now. Yeah. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That and usually I turn the outside water faucets, water supply off by now, but it's still, still do some watering. And that's a good thing to do yet, right?
It is a good thing to do. I was really lucky in the when we had the snowfall. We did have one snowfall, remember, on Halloween. Yeah. Kids were trooping around in the snow. So I had an inch of rain before the snowfall. And then after the snowfall, there was another inch in my rain gauge. So with that snow in Plymouth, where I am, southern Plymouth, I had 2 inches of rain. So this is wonderful, but not all of our state has gotten enough rain. And especially if you're worried about new plants, what did you plant this year, especially anything you planted in the fall or, you know, after the 4th of July and so on, you should definitely think about watering that.
If you're just joining us, Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering those lawn and garden questions here on our Smart Garden Show. By the way, we're here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour on our Lawn and Garden 830WCCO. Texter says this, Mary, I have my geraniums in a brown bag, but they're still green. Now what do I do to save them for next year?
Well, if they're in the brown bag, I think this person has already, you know, taken them out of the pots and so on. And geraniums are an amazing plant. They can survive in a brown bag, in a cool place, away from light and really not growing. They kind of just get in this dormant state. And then in the spring, you can cut off what's brown, pot them up again, and put them outside again. So it's normal to see some green on them. It's a good thing. They're still alive. A little safer way is just bringing the whole pot indoors and keeping it in a bright sunny window.
Let us try, Mary, and I say try because we've had trouble with our phone system this morning. Teddy's on the horn from Minneapolis. Let's see if we can't get that phone call from Teddy. Teddy, are you with us this morning?
With you this morning. Good morning.
Outstanding. What can we do for you?
I have a couple quick questions. Catmint and Japanese yew bush, are those too late to trim back?
The yew, I'm going to be doing some pruning on my yew this week now as I actually prune it and then put those cuttings in containers in front of my front door. So, yes, you can do that now. The plant is pretty much into dormancy. The catmint, you know, we're recommending more and more that people do not prune back their perennials into the fall because a lot of insects overwinter there and many of our pollinators survive there. But you won't hurt the plant if you do pruning on catmint now. That's fine. But you might want to wait till spring because that helps pollinators.
Very good. Thanks, Teddy. Texter says this, asks this, I have an English ivy plant. I have noticed lately that some of the leaves have become sticky. Even the edge of the pot is sticky. Is this from some type of insect or bug? I love the show. Listen every week. Well, thank you for that. What do you think of that issue, Mary?
I think that's definitely a sign of insects. It could be spider mites. It could be aphids. So you can take the plant to your shower, give it a good watering, and wash the leaves off well, especially wash off the underside of the leaf because spider mites are very small. They're hard to see with the naked eye. So wash it off really well. You could also try insecticidal soap because that's a safe, easy to use pest killer, especially good for killing insects. But I would do a thorough inspection, clean it off as much as possible. And if you still then see the stickiness afterwards, then I would try insecticidal soap.
Very good. Mary, hang on, please. We'll take a quick break and be right back with more of our Smart Garden Show. Call us or text us 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good morning once again. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. Denny Long back with Mary Meyer from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions. And we have a bunch of those, Mary, as usual. Phone calls as well. Let us hear from Ron. Ron's calling in, I believe, from Shoreview this morning. Thank you, Ron. What is your question for Mary?
In the past three rainfalls that we've had, I've had about 3.25 inches of rain. I have clay soil. Can I put my hoses away, or should I keep on?
Ron, good for you. I think you could probably put your hoses away. The heavy clay soil does tend to retain quite a bit of moisture. Good for you with 3.5 inches of rain. And hopefully we will still continue to get some moisture. I think that's a little bit is in the forecast for the next coming weeks. And as long as the soil is not frozen, any rain or snow will add to our soil moisture, and it won't run off.
Some of the weather forecasters are predicting, keep in mind that, what do they say, that weather forecasting is a inexact science, the temperature might be above average, maybe until Thanksgiving, maybe up in including Thanksgiving, maybe the first week in December we might start dipping. But yeah, that's what they are talking about now. We'll see. Texter says this: can I fertilize now, right now, and what kind of fertilizer should I use with any weed killer? I know we still have folks with that in mind. Well, I know what you're going to suggest, Mary, but what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think this is really a good idea because of our dry conditions, and certainly not the weed killer. The weed killer really needs to be in much warmer temperatures for it to be activated. I think it probably says that on the label, that if the air temperature is below, I don't know, something like 50, 55, many times even 60, that to not to put it on. I actually skipped fertilizing my lawn this fall, which is, I have a low maintenance lawn with fescue, but I there was never an opportunity. It was dry. It was too dry, and fertilizer just meant stress. And now it's okay now, but it's so late. So next spring, I'll be thinking about it.
I had to do the same thing. I had to put away the bags of fertilizer for the same reason. Yeah, it was a strange fall. Could I, Texter says, replant a hydrangea tree? Doesn't say when, but...
Well, you can do that. I would not do that now. I think this is the time to make your list for next spring for what you need to move or what you want to change in your garden. So you can walk around and think about that, but to actually doing it, putting the shovel in the ground and moving a plant, it's at a real risk now because there won't be much time, if any, for it to establish new roots. So without new roots, it's really in a risk or fragile position. So I would wait to do any transplanting until next spring, unless, of course, you're moving or something like that, something extreme. Yeah.
Mary, here's a sod watering question. This texter said, I installed 300 square feet of sod 2 weeks ago. Good for you. Watered every day the first week, every other day the second week. How much longer should I continue watering? I think that person's in pretty good shape, given the forecast.
Yes, given the forecast. And so, right, the ideal is 1 inch of rain a week. And, of course, with sod, you know, you don't want it to dry out. You want it to get established. So they have 1 week. They're into 2 weeks. They're into the third week now. I think they're in pretty good shape. I would say, you know, you might do it once more. And if you can measure, actually put something out there to measure to make sure you're watering 1 inch of that can take a while, but maybe once more. But I think you're in pretty good shape.
We've got, I can see two or three more questions about how much longer should I continue watering. And again, looking at that forecast, if that's accurate, I don't see a lot. I don't see a lot of frost on the ground. I'm certainly going to try to get the boxwoods and the yews and everything else watered as long as I can.
Yes, right. I would say it really depends on how much rain you have had in the last, what is it? It's two weeks or so since we had that snowfall. You know, like I said, my house, I had over 2 inches now, and so that's good. But if you didn't get a lot of precipitation, then you really should think about watering. Yes.
One more question before we have a look at the forecast. The city, Texas, has just planted an elm tree on my boulevard, left no instructions. Should I be watering that tree this fall?
Yes, I would do that. You might be able to call the city and find out if they have a plan to water it, if they're coming around with watering trucks or whatever. This is probably one of the new hybrid elms, which are great replacement trees. I planted the St. Croix elm. Gosh, I should look up what year I planted that. It's just amazing how quickly that plant has grown. Just amazing. Elms are known for that, for being fast growing. They are a native tree. And these new selections are, they're very nice. So I would think about watering that.
Excellent. Hang on, Mary, please. We're going to take a break and look at that forecast and be right back. We have about another half hour of our Smart Garden show to go. So if you'd like to join in, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text. 651-461-9226. The weather's next here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Lawn and Garden show. We call it Smart Garden. Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota is our host today. Well, she's our guest. She's our expert. And boy, is she ever answering those questions. And we have a bunch for you to answer, Mary. A lot of watering. In fact, here we are, and we mentioned it. This is November 9th. We're getting lawn questions today, and that's we always get lawn questions, but maybe not so late in the season and not so many of them. This question from a listener says, is it too late to aerate your lawn?
Oh, my gosh. I guess this is because we can see our lawns.
Yes.
There's nothing. Well, maybe leaves might be covering yours up. Aeration, I think, that's okay to do that. I was playing golf yesterday, and I saw where they had aerated. Take the plugs out and relieves compaction, opens up the spaces so there's more air for the plant roots to grow with a lawn. So, you could still do aeration.
I kind of wish I would have waited because the guy that did the aeration, the lawn was extremely dry, so it kind of tore it up. Now, at least it's a little, So that's a whole other issue. You know what I wanted to mention? It's any time of the year, but this is such a fun time of year to get to the Arboretum.
Oh, yes. There's the Apple House Boutique opened, just this past week. So many people know the Apple House, where you can still buy all the apples, Honeycrisp, Fireside, Snowsweet. Snowsweet is a great apple, Harrelson, et cetera, and squash. But now, not only can you buy apples and squash, there are many boutique things associated with Christmas, of course, and the holidays that you can buy. And the Apple House Boutique is open every day from 9 to 5 until, I think, it's December 20th. So that's a fun place to visit. No reservations needed. That's just about a mile further west on Route 5 from the Arboretum entry. But then, of course, the Arboretum is open with beautiful fall color. There's still the larch. I was out there walking this week, and the larch were so beautiful with their yellow fall color. Many shrubs still have berries on. The crab apples, the winter berry. So some beautiful winter interest that you can see there in fall color. So great place to walk at the Arboretum.
Yes, and you reserve that online, though, right?
Yes, thanks for reminding me. Yes, especially on the weekends, you need to have a reservation, but easy to do very quickly. You can do that online and just show your barcode when you go in. There's also a new cafe, Rootstock, at the Arboretum, so that's really fun. And that's showcasing many of the Arboretum introductions with apples and so on, so...
But you don't need reservations go to the Apple House. Not
right. The Apple House is open with no reservations, right?
Yeah, fun place, fun place. Both of them. All right, let's take a phone call. I think Ken is calling in from Chanhassen this morning. Ken, thank you. What is your question for Mary?
Yes, a couple of pruning questions. I have some variegated dogwood and also juniper. I'd like to prune back before the winter snow. Otherwise, it really tends to bend them over a lot. So just wondering if they could prune both of those next week or two.
Yes, Ken, you can do that. And the more you prune that variegated dogwood, well, that particular one is grown mostly for the foliage because of the attractive green and white foliage. But many of the dogwoods, when you prune them, the new shoots are the ones that are the most colorful. So the red, yellow, green colors on the dogwoods really benefit by pruning. But this is a great time to do that.
Okay.
And same for the juniper. Yep.
Very good. A listener sent a text saying, I have an area of wildflowers that I cut down for winter. Should I spread seeds there now or wait till spring?
There is really good luck with fall seeding with wildflowers or early in the springtime. So fall, kind of the dormant seeding as well, or spring, yes. You have to have good seed-soil contact. So that is really essential. So either raking or making sure that there is an open area that you can get the seeds with good seed soil contact. But this is a good time to do that. Many of our wildflowers need a cold treatment, and so they'll get that cold treatment with the winter.
Okay. When do we trim our smoke bush, listener asked. Its huge branches are hanging down after the last snow we had.
Yes, boy, the snow really did a job on any plants that still had foliage on or could catch that snow. We saw a lot of damage with that. But the smoke bush, as long as a plant is dormant, which it is going into dormancy, if not already dormant, you can do that now.
All right. Let's take another phone call. Monica, checking in from Bloomington this morning, I believe. Monica, thank you. What is your question for Mary Meyer?
Well, good morning. I have a question regarding houseplant that I had acquired. They're both in the same pot. It's from a garden community that at the end of the year dig them up, and then they ask people if they want them, and I took this pot home. But these two plants are in the same pot, a bird of paradise, which I've never had, and then a mother of all mothers with kind of little leaflets around, which after I got it, it says it's very poisonous. I do have a beagle around, those little leaflets and so forth. And it looks like they have different watering requirements. And then also, since I got the plant, I'm sure they probably need to be divided because it seems like they have different lighting requirements, watering requirements. These little black little flies, I don't notice them in the soil, but the plant itself is a dining room where it gets more... little, not direct sunlight, but sunlight. And we notice these little teeny weeny little flies in the dining room, living room, and I'm thinking it's coming from that plant or the soil.
Yes.
And I need to know if they should be divided, those plants, or...
Yeah, so Monica, I think that, boy, the bird of paradise is a big plant. Mother of all mothers is a type of calanchoe, and it has these tiny, tiny little plants on the edges of the leaf, which is kind of interesting and amazing. But yeah, it has the ability to, those little plantlets can drop down and then form a new plant. So it's an interesting plant in and of itself. And the calanchoe, the mother of all mothers, is very thick-leaved, so you don't need to water it very much. Bird of paradise, that's more of a challenging plant to grow, but it's so big. Usually it's just, it's a great big thing. So if I were you, I would really, I'd think about dividing those, putting those in separate pots so you have better control of the watering. Make sure that the containers have a hole in the bottom for good drainage. And then the fungus gnats, those are the little insects that you see flying around. Those are coming out of the soil. So if you can keep the soil drier, that helps. If you can put a layer of sand on top of the soil, that will it can eliminate them. There are a couple of other things about attracting them, but I think a lot of your problem might go away just with repotting. And getting new potting soil in there and watering less because the fungus gnats don't like that. If you still have them after repotting, there is lots of information on extension.umn.edu on the website, and just put in houseplants and fungus gnats and you'll see the information there.
I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to mention that, many times we run out of time because we have so many questions. But you can find a lot of great answers. In fact, there's a lot of great reading, a lot of excellent information on that website, extension.umn.edu. We like to tell you about that all the time because it's worth it. It's worth checking out. Texter says, I know we have to break here in a couple of minutes. Quickly, we have texture says older arborvitae where the squirrels and rabbits have stripped the bases. Do you think a burlap wrap will help to protect those?
Well, maybe. The thing is, when you have animal damage, you need something more like wire or hardware cloth that you can put around the base so that the animal can't get to it. With burlap, they could probably chew right through it if they wanted to get to it. So I would say something more substantial. But yes, protection of the trunks of trees. This is really important this time of year. We don't see the damage yet because there's no snow cover and there's still lots of food for wildlife, but any new trees and shrubs, especially fruit trees, etc., that bunnies tend to like, putting a cloth, a hardware cloth, some wire mesh around the trunk of the tree is very important for getting through the winter.
Yeah, absolutely. Tough stuff. Before we break, Texter has says white mold on an orchid cactus. What to do about that?
So I wonder if this is mold is on the cactus itself or on the soil.
It doesn't say.
So it might be on the soil. If that's the case, I would scrape it off and remove that. If it's mold looking on the orchid itself, I would do really a cleaning of that and try to remove it. If you can take a wet paper towel and that comes off, that's really good. It also could be a sign of insects and not really a mold issue if it's insects. But if you can remove them, then that's a good thing. So I would do really a good cleanup of trying to remove that if possible. If that doesn't work, then again, I'd look at the extension website under houseplants and insect and pest control to see if you can find a picture for what you have.
Yeah, extension.umn.edu. We'll take a quick break. Be right back with more Smart Garden here on CCO. Just a reminder that Andy Lindis will be joining us next hour on our Home Improvement Show. So if you have any kind of a home improvement question, we will love to get some answers for you next hour with Andy. 42 degrees in the Twin Cities here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Mary Meyer from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions, either by phone or by text, as usual, 651-461-9226. Mary, another texter says this, can I cut spirea down now, and how far can I cut them back?
Well, you can prune spirea now, but that's going to be cutting off the blooms for next spring. So, gosh, we've had several questions on can I prune now. This is the first one that has been a spring flowering shrub. The others were evergreens or they were not flowering shrubs. But you can do the pruning, but you won't have flowers in the spring, obviously, because they're already formed now. So that's kind of a choice. Ideally, you prune it right after it flowers.
Okay. Another listener says, is it too late to move an oregano plants to a new location?
Oh, gosh. Those oregano is a really tough perennial. I've had really good luck with oregano, and I'm actually now thinking about it, this is an herb that I could put anywhere because it's lived in dry conditions and partial shade. And so I'm thinking that it's probably going to live even if you move it now. It's so late. It's a risk, but, maybe it will be okay. If you're really concerned about it and you don't have very much, I'd wait until the spring.
Texter says, we haven't had any moisture there. They've watered, but sometimes the Brussels sprout, it's kind of a broken up sentence here. I'm not sure what they're at. One question is, what seems to be eating the Brussels sprouts?
Well, probably anything that's still moving around in the garden, because most things are done in the garden. But Brussels sprouts are one of our cold, hardy vegetables, and they actually improve. I think a lot of that starch turns to sugar there. They actually improve in the fall, like parsnips do. But it could be anything. It could be rabbits. It could be field mice. But they're enjoying the Brussels sprouts. So if you really have a problem, either you need to put some obstruction there, like a fence or something, or else pick them because,
All right. Another texter says, is there a benefit to applying compost on my garden now versus the spring?
Well, compost is great to put on your garden fall and spring. If you have open soil, you could put it on right now and that would be fine. You don't want it to wash away in the winter if we have snowfall or if we had a 4-inch rain or something. If there's any possibility that it would erode, I would not do it now. But putting it on now and tilling it in, if you can still do that, is great. So either time, fall or spring, is good.
Texter says, since you were reminding people to maybe to pull up their garden hoses, would you also like, we've kind of covered this, but would you also like to mention putting a fence around burning bushes and other small trees to keep the rabbits away during the winter? You kind of covered that. Hardware cloth, for those that don't know, kind of give a description of that stuff. And if I could throw in 2 cents, wear gloves.
Oh, my gosh, wear gloves. It's so spiky. Yeah, and especially if you're cutting it, it gets spiky. So chicken wire is another term for a hardware cloth. Or, it just tends to be finer wire in kind of fencing that doesn't – it's closer together. So animals can't get through it. But small animals, that's still really a challenge. But making a cylinder and me even having it double, then you have smaller holes than ever with the wire. So that's the protection that you need. And you can – you buy this in rolls in garden centers or home stores. But then, yes, you usually end up cutting it with a wire cutter, and then you have all these spiky loose ends. So wearing gloves is a great idea.
Now, how I'm thinking of these critters that, especially if we get a lot of snow this season, what about the height of this protecting wire? How high do you think it should be?
Yeah, so usually you want it 2 or 3 feet. That's usually enough for, if you think about a rabbit on its hind legs. But then, of course, yes, if snow is 3 feet deep, then that's difficult also. But at least usually the base of the plant, so two to three feet. If you have a young maple tree, maples tend to have that really thin bark, then wrapping it from to prevent sun scald, then you want to wrap it, you know, as much as you can down on the base up until the first limbs are coming out. So it could be taller protection if you're going for preventing from sun scald and bark cracking.
All right. I'm just looking at the clock, see how much time we have left. Here's another text, Mary. Do I cut down my endless summer hydrangea now?
I would not do that. You know, the hydrangea pruning is a kind of a consternation for people. There's so many different hydrangeas and different kinds. When do they form the buds and when to do the pruning? I don't do any pruning on my hydrangeas unless there's something broken or dead parts that are on it, dead branches. So yeah, my endless summer, it pretty much dies back to the ground. I have one that does not bloom very well, but I don't prune it because it's not worth it.
Mary, a listener, and we've mentioned it, you and your colleagues, Julie and Teresa, have mentioned the website, but also you can kind of click on, I believe, Ask a Master Gardener. Is that right?
Yes. So this is an email exchange. You don't really have a live person there. But yes, Ask a Master Gardener is a service that the Master Gardeners do, answering questions. More and more people are sending in pictures now of, you know, what is this plant? What is this insect? We also have that, identifying insects and so on, as part of the website, extension.umn.edu. But Ask a Master Gardener is another feature there as well.
Yeah, it's great. When can I prune a lilac? Texter wants to know. When can I prune lilacs?
Best time is right after it blooms. So, yeah, put that on your list for probably mid to late May, early June to be doing the pruning.
We did get another dormant seeding question. How long can I wait to do dormant grass seeding?
You can do dormant seeding. Gosh, you know, last winter, Denny, was the winter you could do dormant seeding all winter long.
True.
So, you want it. The idea is to get it down when the soil is cold and the seed's not going to germinate, but before it snows. So then the snow covers it up, keeps it there so it doesn't wash away. And, yeah, so it really depends on the weather. This is kind of prime time. We think early mid-November, prime time for dormant seeding. So I would say, yeah, you could do it now and probably, depending on the weather, you know, through into December.
Okay. A couple of minutes to go on the show. Gophers digging in my flower beds. What can we do?
This is such a, you know, that's probably the nuisance animals digging around, really difficult. You know, the main thing is determining what animal is it? What animal do you really have? And then, you know, we have information on that with trapping and so on. That's tough. Try to increase your tolerance. If they're not really eating the bark of trees and things like that, I just try to increase my tolerance to share my garden with the wildlife.
Okay.
Hard to do.
It is sometimes. I have, Texas is a 20-year-old maple tree that was labeled as a celestial maple to turn crimson red in the fall. Tree does not turn color in the fall. And I was told on an earlier show that it was probably a silver maple that was mislabeled. However, there are several branches in the tree that will turn red. The rest of the leaves remain green. What kind of a tree do you think this is?
So I would do some detective work, yes, with just the leaf itself. You can tell if it's a silver maple. Now, there are crosses, which makes it more challenging. between the red maple, silver maple, etc. But I with just the leaf pattern itself, I would see if you can't determine exactly what that tree is. It does sound like a silver maple. Silver maples are notorious for yellow fall color and holding their leaves. There's a lot of silver maples drop their leaves right now. Very fast growing, yes. But my guess, you probably have a hybrid.
Could be. Mary, we're out of time. Always a pleasure to have you on the radio. I know we'll do this again very soon.
Yes, so fun to talk gardening. Thank you, Denny.
You bet. Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Yeah, we'll have Mary back. Of course, we'll have another edition of our show next Saturday morning at 8 o'clock.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.